Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
It's 5 o'clock. This is the evening news on Highland Radio with Donal Kavanagh. In this bulletin, former Minister Catherine Zappone tells the government she will not be taking up the position of UN Special Envoy. There have been calls for more clarity around the relationship between NPHET and government after a new report questioned where the real power lies. South Osseo Letterkenny University Hospital is once again extremely busy today. We'll hear from the hospital manager, who says the wait can be up to 12 hours in the emergency department for non-urgent patients. And hundreds of parents are supporting the Archbishop of Dublin, who's become the latest bishop to decide to allow Holy Communions and confirmations go ahead in his diocese. Later in the bulletin at around 5:15, we'll have the sports news with PJ Lynch. But we begin with confirmation in the past half hour from Foreign Minister Catherine Zappone that she will not be taking up the position of UN Special Envoy. Ms. Zappone said criticism of the appointment in recent days has impacted the legitimacy of the job itself. With more, here's political correspondent Sean Defoe.
Catherine Zappone contacted the Department of Foreign Affairs this afternoon to inform Minister Simon Coveney she won't be taking up the role of UN Special Envoy on freedom of opinion and expression. Ms. Zappone said while she was honoured to be appointed, criticism of the appointment process itself impacted the legitimacy of the role. Serious questions have been asked about how she was appointed, recruited by former Cabinet colleague Simon Coveney, without the knowledge of the Taoiseach. Further scrutiny came today when it emerged Zappone hosted an event for 50 people at the Merrion Hotel in Dublin just days before she was appointed. Tánaiste Leo Varadkar attended, and the hotel insists it was complying with COVID guidelines. But Social Democrats TD Gary Gannon believes there's still questions to be answered.
Catherine Zappone being friendly with Leo Varadkar to the point that he shows up at her function 6 days before she's appointed to a special UN envoy position for a role that happened without any form of process.
While the government may now try to draw a line under the process, very few questions are fully answered, including whether the Tánaiste attended an event in breach of COVID restrictions, something restaurateurs want answers about, and a meeting with government officials this evening.
There have been calls for more clarity around the relationship between NPHET and the government after a new report questioned where the real power lies. The research by legal experts at Trinity College found NPHET was the de facto decision maker when it came to much of the pandemic. The report suggests ministers were happy to put the blame for unpopular restrictions back onto health officials. Well, Assistant Professor of Law at Trinity College in Dublin, Dr. Sarah Hamill, says NPHET also knew how to play the media.
That, I think, happened around sort of the September-October 2020 period. So NPHET was certainly engaging with the media, and that is, I think, a positive thing. But there was a sense that they were using the media to force the government to follow its advice in a way that the government wasn't then doing.
1,040 new cases of COVID-19 have been confirmed north of the border this afternoon, with one additional COVID-related death. 226 patients being treated for the disease in hospitals in Northern Ireland, 38 of them in ICU. The COVID incidence rate in Donegal is coming down, with 1,331 cases in the 14 days to midnight on Monday. That's an incidence rate of 836.1 cases per 100,000 people. At the end of last week, the Donegal incidence rate figure was over 956. The figure today compares to a national rate of 373.6. Seltha says Letterkenny University Hospital is once again extremely busy today, with many patients waiting for extended periods of time to be attended to in the emergency department or to be transferred from an emergency department bed to an acute ward within the hospital. Hospital manager Sean Murphy is again urging people to contact their GP or NowDoc Out of Hours service in the first instance if their medical issue isn't urgent, instead of attending the emergency department at the hospital. Mr. Murphy has apologised to any patients who have experienced long waits. He told Highland Radio News this afternoon the waits can be anywhere up to 12 hours for non-urgent cases. And he says that's simply down to the sheer numbers of people who are presenting.
Our main problem is actually just the time it's taking to see all the patients coming in and assess them, make a diagnosis. Many of the patients are actually not requiring admission, but they do require some level of treatment and assessment and diagnosis. And the sheer volume of patients is putting our service under huge pressure at the moment. Our daily numbers are currently exceeding what we would normally get on our busiest days, and our busiest days are hitting new records. I put it in context, in the month of January, we were seeing about 2,500 attendances each month for the month. We're now up to about 4,000 attendances. So there's just a huge surge in the number of patients presenting. Unfortunately, that means that we obviously have to give priority to our sickest and most ill patients, those that are absolute emergency cases and serious accidents, and patients with more sort of longer term ongoing conditions will wait much longer, and we would encourage and advise them to please contact their GP, the GP out of our service, or even their pharmacist if it's a minor illness in the first instance, because low acuity patients will be waiting a very long time in the hospital, and we're seeing that every day at the moment. I'd just like to apologise to those that have experienced long waiting times, and again ask them to bear with them, bear with our staff who are working extremely hard, but my apologies if you have experienced a long wait.
And that was Sean Murphy, the General Manager at Letterkenny University Hospital. Hundreds of parents are supporting the Archbishop of Dublin in his decision to allow First Communions and confirmations go ahead. Dublin becomes the seventh diocese in the country to allow ceremonies take place despite public health guidelines. Here, Bishop Alan McGuckian said at the weekend that ceremonies can recommence in Raphoe after Friday week, August 13th, provided the highest standards of sanitation and social distancing are met. With more detail, here's Mairead Cleary.
Perplexing and discriminatory. That's how Archbishop Dermot Farrell described the ban on communion and confirmation ceremonies in his letter to priests in Ireland's largest diocese. Schooldays.ie, a forum representing 10,000 parents of school-aged children, have been reacting to the news. Ciara Morgan from the group says most parents have welcomed the decision by Dr. Farrell.
The overall issue doesn't seem to be about the ceremonies themselves. It is the parties after. So our community certainly seems to feel like it shows a lack of trust in them. And it just seems generally unfair, since weddings can accommodate 100 guests.
Meanwhile, Father Roy Donovan from the Association of Catholic Priests expects the move to put pressure on schools.
I have a big question mark about that, because principals and teachers are on holidays. They've had a tough year and they shouldn't be having to come back, as I'd imagine most parishes are going to be demanding or requesting.
Dr. Dermot Farrell has asked parents to hold smaller ceremonies for sacraments and to adhere to strict public health advice regarding public worship.
The World Health Organization is calling on wealthy countries to suspend the use of booster COVID vaccines until at least the end of September. WHO wants instead to ensure a greater supply of vaccines to low-income countries. The Director General, Dr. Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus, says the aim is to get 10% of the population of every country vaccinated.
We need an urgent reversal from the majority of vaccines going to high-income countries to the majority going to low-income countries. Accordingly, WHO is calling for a moratorium on boosters until at least the end of September to enable at least 10% of the population of every country to be vaccinated.
Minister Heather Humphreys has announced a new €7 million fund to help enhance streetscapes and shopfronts in rural towns and villages. Donegal is set to receive €320,000. That's one of the highest allocations that has been confirmed. With more detail, here's Anya Midlinchy.
The Minister for Rural and Community Development, Heather Humphreys, TD, announced today the €7 million fund to over 50 rural towns and villages. The Streetscape Enhancement Initiative is a part in Our Rural Future that will help projects to get upgrades to building facades, artwork, murals, lighting, street furniture and canopies, with investments designed to make rural towns and villages more colourful, vibrant and attractive places to live in and visit, and allow local authorities to collaborate with businesses and property owners. The streetscape enhancement measure will be administered by local authorities who will be requested to nominate at least two towns per county, with participating towns and villages being confirmed in the coming weeks.
An inquest into a murder-suicide in North Cork has ruled 26-year-old Mark O'Sullivan was unlawfully killed. His father, Tadhg, and younger brother, Dermot, both took their own lives. Paul O'Donoghue has this report, which does include some graphic and potentially distressing detail.
The inquest was told how mother Anne O'Sullivan awoke to gunshots on the morning of October 26, 2020, to find her husband Tadhg and younger son Dermot firing guns into her oldest son's bedroom. She yelled, "What have you done?" and they both then let off another shot. 26-year-old Mark O'Sullivan was shot 7 times in the tragic incident following a months-long dispute over a family will, which involved how the Canturk farm would be divided between Mark and Dermot. Anne died from cancer earlier this year. Her statement read out by Gardaí revealed how she last told Mark, "Hold on, I'm going to get you help." Anne then went to flee the house, but found a new padlock had been put on the gate to the farm. She ran almost 1 kilometre to a neighbour's house, who then raised the alarm. Assistant State Pathologist Dr. Margaret Bolster told the inquest drugs or alcohol played no role in the incident.
Aer Lingus has entered a 10-year agreement with Emerald Airlines to run its regional service from January 2023. Stobart Air had been operating the routes until its unexpected closure in June. The services under the agreement include flights from Ireland to regional airports in the UK, the Isle of Man and Jersey. A Foyle MLA is calling on Invest Northern Ireland to collaborate with partners in the northwest region on both sides of the border. Sinn Féin's Martina Anderson says the body has a Belfast first policy and has ignored the economic needs of the northwest. She says following Brexit, Invest NI needs to work with agencies south of the border to collaborate on investment and infrastructural development. She says it should take a similar stance to that of Derry City and Strabane District Council, which has been working very closely with its counterpart in Donegal.
Invest NI, I believe, and I have said this to them, that they have a Belfast first approach when it comes to the north and the six counties. And, you know, quite clearly, when you look at the northwest, wind, wave, infrastructure, what we have, the potential that we have, say for hydrogen, and yet all of the data centres are on in the east, in the six counties rather than in the northwest. And what we need is to bring all that together. When we have looked at the number of visitors that have come, investors from overseas that have come to the north, they've all been taken, or the lion's share of them have been taken to the east as opposed to the northwest. So I have been to the forefront of the criticism with Invest NI. We can't have, you know, some kind of hokey-cokey arrangement here, because people here in the north, we have lost our rights as a consequence of Brexit. And we want, for instance, to see those rights enhanced. So we want agencies like Invest NI and Enterprise Ireland to be working with the IDA and to be coming together in a collaborative way. What the councils are doing in Derry, Strabane and Donegal has been remarkable. Memorandum of understanding, they were the first out of the traps to be able to identify the absolute adverse impact that Brexit was going to have on the northwest and how it was going to damage the relationships, and we couldn't have a border on the island of Ireland. And that was why, as a former MEP, I worked very hard to ensure that that wasn't going to be the outworkings of Brexit. And what we need to ensure is now Invest NI, Enterprise Ireland, IDA, work in the same way, adapting the model of the North West City region, adapting the model that the two councils have already adopted.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Cash for Clubs at Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, the new loyalty scheme that rewards your club every time you shop at michaelmurphysports.ie.
16 minutes past five, and we say good evening to PJ Lynch.
Good evening, Donal. We'll start with soccer this evening, and this Saturday sees Finn Harps travel to face Sligo Rovers in a Northwest derby at the Showgrounds. Finn Harps were informed today that there will be no away ticket allocation for the SSE Airtricity League Premier Division clash. Full live commentary with Dermot Doherty and Declan Boyle will be here on Highland Radio, as from the kickoff time of 7:45 p.m. on Saturday evening. It's understood that Manchester City are closing in on signing Jack Grealish from Aston Villa for a British record transfer fee. The €117 million deal could be concluded in time for the England midfielder to play for City in the Community Shield against Leicester on Saturday. The fee would surpass the €105 million Manchester United paid to re-sign France midfielder Paul Pogba from Juventus back in 2016. Celtic manager Ange Postecoglou says it was a no-brainer to sign Joe Hart. The former England goalkeeper will compete with Scott Bain and Vasilis Barkas for the number one spot at the Scottish Premiership club. Postecoglou believes Hart will be a big influence on the dressing room.
He's a player who's played at the highest level for a long time. He's experienced the up and downs of football, and I think having an experienced player like him around will also assist those two.
Head coach Stephen Bradley has confirmed that bids have been made for Shamrock Rovers defender Liam Scales. The centre-back, who pushed out to left wing this season, was reportedly the subject of a bid made by Celtic for a six-figure sum. However, Bradley revealed today that there's also interest from Premier League clubs and that more than one bid has been made. The Tallaght club are in Europa Conference League action tomorrow at home against Albanian club Tejuta. Shelburne can pull level on points with the Women's National League leaders Piemont tonight. Shells entertain Bohemians. Elsewhere, Treaty United face bottom side Cork City, and both games kick off at 7:45. Here at home, there's action in the Donegal Youth League this evening, all kicking off at 7 p.m. Drumkeen take on Cadhu Rovers. Kilmacrenan Celtic face Milford United, and Letterkenny Rovers host Laggan Harps. In Olympics news, Kian O'Connor and his horse Kilkenny have withdrawn from Friday's team show jumping final. Kilkenny suffered a nosebleed towards the end of today's clear round in the individual final. The 9-year-old was assessed by the onset veterinary team and the horse returned to its stable in a comfortable state. However, the decision's been made for Kilkenny to sit out the team event, with Shane Sweetnam competing aboard Alejandro instead. O'Connor and Kilkenny had finished 7th in the individual final. Tanya Watson will compete in the semi-finals of the 10-metre platform diving at 2 a.m. Irish time. The 19-year-old was 16th in this morning's preliminary round. Leona Maguire will go into the second round of the women's golf, 5 off the lead on level par. Stephanie Meadow begins day 2 from 1 over, and Sweden's Magdalene Sagström leads on 5 under. On the track, Canada's André de Grasse won the men's 200 metres in a time of 19.62 seconds, while Emmanuel Kipkurui Kerir won the men's 800 metres. In Gaelic games, the TG Cahill All-Ireland Ladies Senior Football Championship semi-final between Dublin and Mayo will be played at Croke Park. The match will be played before the meeting of the men's sides at the same venue on Saturday week, and throw-in will be at 3:45. Meanwhile, the Airgrid All-Ireland Under-20 football final will be played before the clash of Kerry and Tyrone on Sunday, August 15th. Here at home tonight, there's one game in the Donegal All-County League. In Division 3, Buncrana host Burt, and that one throws in at 8 o'clock. And that's your sport here on Highland Radio this evening.
Thank you very much indeed, PJ. A public appeal has been launched in a bid to find a Strabane native living in London who's gone missing. 29-year-old Shauna Boyle, who is based in the Camden Town area, last made contact with her family on July 30th. She hasn't been seen since the end of July. A nationwide status yellow thunderstorm warning has been issued for tomorrow. Met Éireann say thundery spells of rain will fall between 6 a.m. and 7 p.m. There's also a risk of lightning and local hail at times. A similar warning issued by forecasters north of the border. There are warnings this could lead to localised flooding right across the island with hazard driving conditions. Community groups in Donegal are being urged to apply for grants to support adult learners in disadvantaged areas. The Mitigating Educational Disadvantage Fund is being administered by Solus and the local education and training boards, with Donegal ETB taking the lead in this area. The aim of the fund is to support community education for adult learners who have the highest level of need, with a particular focus on building digital infrastructure and increasing the capacity to deliver online learning. Paddy Lavelle is General Secretary of Education and Training Boards Ireland.
Throughout County Donegal, the ETB put in study hubs with internet access to enable people to use those if their own home internet wasn't good enough. That was an example. The community development companies benefited. They did something similar. They boosted their own access to the internet, or they bought devices that they could share out to people. And there were many schemes around the county that benefited from it last year. The fund is increased by 20% this year. It's up to 10 million this year. So it should make a big difference, particularly in light of the fact that Donegal Education and Training Board is going to be working to advance the adult literacy, numeracy and digital strategy for the department and for Solace over the course of the next couple of years.
And obviously it is very important for a county like Donegal, which under the National Broadband Plan is still by no means fully covered. And there are, as you've indicated, there are large swathes of Donegal where broadband access is a problem, and the provision of these hubs and support to access those hubs remains very, very vital indeed.
Yes, and we found out to our cost during COVID that we needed to have better access to digital infrastructure and to digital devices, and that's what this grant was about. And the fact that it's come again this year is really welcome from the Education and Training Board's point of view, because it allows that the community education facilitators in Donegal, under the Director of Further Education and Training, Rona Gallagher, and Martina Needham, who's the Adult Education Officer, that they'll make sure that this money gets well spent and that the grants go to where they're needed most.
That was Paddy Lavelle. Finally, it's Mallon Head, where a local community campaigner and activist is calling for urgent improvements and upgrades to car parking facilities following reports that the area has been gridlocked at times over the busy summer months. Ali Farron says the current parking situation at Mallon Head is meaning that potential visitors and tourists are being turned away because they have to park at inconvenient spots along the road, as well as trying to negotiate roads which are packed on both sides with parked cars. Speaking on today's 9 till noon show, he said park and ride facilities would not be a suitable alternative if land can't be found to build a car park at Mallon Head itself.
Traffic and gridlock and getting parked at Mallon Head is a continuous problem, especially during summer months and busy like Easter and things like that there. We have probably, 14 or 15 car parking spaces, you know, at a place that attracts 250,000 people every year. It's just not good enough. We've been on the case of the council and Fáil Sheridan for years. We've had plan after plan. And we know there's work getting done, but it's getting done at a very slow and snail pace. This weekend, actually, yesterday was the first time I seen a coach coming to Mallon Head for the last probably 18, 19 months. There was actually three coaches came to Mallon Head yesterday. We need them to come.
And, you know, I think we spoke previously too, Ali, about the fact that, you know, we don't just want people to go up, say I was at Mallon Head, and leave. You know, you want them to stay, explore a little bit, spend a few quid, as you mentioned there. But they are discouraged from doing so if the facilities aren't there. But let me ask you this as it relates to parking. Is parking the solution here? Because, of course, then you need the cooperation of local landowners, and then you can have a conversation about whether or not we should be tarmacking, you know, such a beautiful area. Or should we be looking at park and ride, you know, like similar to, you know, what we see in Glenveagh? I don't know. Like, what options should be on the table? And what's
realistic? Well, obviously, people will not think I'm the expert, but my opinion is that it doesn't need to be a park and ride. It needs to be as close to Mallon Head as possible, because most people who come to Mallon Head are coming in their own car. They're coming with their children in the child seats. They're not going to be willing to get out in Mallon or even Mallon Head Community Centre and wait for a bus.
And that was Ali Farron speaking to Greg Hughes on today's 9 till noon show. Looking at the weather forecast, and tonight will be cloudy with scattered blustery outbreaks of rain, mild and humid with lowest overnight temperatures 12 or 13 degrees Celsius, freshening southeast winds, strongest near the coast. Tomorrow morning, breezy and wet with heavy and blustery outbreaks of rain. They'll clear north eastwards by early afternoon, followed by sunny spells and widespread heavy showers with a risk of thunder, lightning, hail and spot flooding. Don't forget there is a yellow thunderstorm warning in place for the entire country tomorrow morning. It'll be breezy at first with fresh to strong and gusty southeasterly winds, but those winds will ease in the afternoon. Highest temperatures tomorrow, 16 to 18 degrees Celsius. And that's Highland Radio News. Main stories in brief, and former Minister Catherine Zappone has told the government she will not be taking up the position of UN Special Envoy. Ms. Zappone said the criticism of the appointment in recent days has impacted the legitimacy of the job itself. There are calls for more clarity around the relationship between NPHET and the government after a new report questioned where the real power lies. COVID incidence rates in Donegal are coming down, 1,331 cases in the 14 days to midnight on Monday, an incidence rate of 836.1 per 100,000 people. people. That compares to a rate last week of 956. Sales that once again say Letterkenny University Hospital is very busy. Hospital manager Sean Murphy said wait times of up to 12 hours are being experienced in the emergency department. He says it's down to the sheer volume of people arriving for treatment. Next news is at 6. Good evening. The obituary notices for this Wednesday evening, the 4th of August. The death has occurred of David Vance, 49, Creamery Road, Coleraine. Funeral from his home on Friday afternoon at 1:30 for service in Ballyrushane Presbyterian Church on arrival. Private family interment in Ballylennon Presbyterian Churchyard, Donegal, afterwards as a result of current government regulations. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if desired, by making cheques payable to Ballyrushane Presbyterian Church, care of Ms. Charlene Wade, 3 Upper Abbey Street, Coleraine. The death has taken place of Charlie Gallagher, Dennis, Lurgan Boyce, Rathmullen. His remains are reposing at his home. Requiem Mass tomorrow at 12 noon in St. Catherine's Church, Ochther Lynn, with burial afterwards in Rathmullen Cemetery. In accordance with HSC and government guidelines, wake, funeral and burial are private to family only, please, with a maximum of 50 people permitted. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Irish Cancer Society, care of Patrick Sweeney, funeral directors. The death has occurred in Birmingham, England, of Katie Kelly, Nate Doherty, formerly of Mahara Callaghan, Castle Finn and Jefferson Court, Strabane. Funeral service will take place on Friday, August 20th at 11:30 a.m. in Birmingham. The death has taken place of Liam Bradley, Munya, Linsford, Buncrana. His remains are reposing at his late residence, which is strictly private, please. Funeral from there tomorrow morning to Star of the Sea Church, Desertegny, for funeral mass at 11 o'clock, with burial in the adjoining graveyard. In accordance with HSC and government guidelines, the funeral is strictly private to family only, please, with a maximum of 50 people permitted. And the death has occurred of Brian Dominic Boyle, Dunlow. His remains are reposing at Midlands Funeral Home until 9 o'clock this evening. Funeral mass tomorrow morning at 11 in St. Cronus Church, Dunlow, with interment afterwards in Mahary Cemetery. In accordance with HSC and government guidelines, funeral is private to family and close friends only, please, with a maximum of 50 people permitted.